So the topic today is motion sensors. Not tied to the packets out there, just I figured it was something off the cuff. So my clock is off. Motion sensors on Shabbos, and trying to understand specifically, there's a psak that Rosh Zalman Orbach gave on this topic, which I heard from a very reliable source. I find that the psak interesting, enigmatic, and I want to try and explain it. So it's not necessarily halacha l'maaseh shir that you asked your local Orthodox rabbi, but at least I think it's to help understand the sugya. Well, what's the question? The question is: a person walking down the street Friday night, and he's passing by a house, and he knows that when he passes by this house, there's a motion sensor which controls the lights, and the person's going to turn on the lights. Does he have a problem walking down the street doing that? Does he have to try and avoid that? Let's say it's unavoidable. What does he do? He forgot to turn off the motion sensor in his own house. Wants to get into his house. So what does he do? He knows for sure that by walking by this, he's going to turn on the light. So in a scenario where the street is fairly well lit, let's say there's street lights, so we can argue the following, that what the person is doing is the Rosh Hashanah, it's not his intent. So we would approach this as a psikration. That's not his intent, but it is a psikration. It's definitely going to happen. But it's done on a lot as a psikration of the Loi Nichalish. Psikration of Nichalish doesn't necessarily mean that you don't want it. It means you don't care. The definition of psikration l'nichalei means that it's unimportant to you. So it's well lit. I don't really need the light which is going on. It's not important to me that this light is going on. So it's a psikration l'nichalei. What's the status of psikration l'nichalei? So according to the Oruch says that psikration l'nichalei is mutter on Shabbos. Different than other Isurim in the Torah, but by Shabbos the rule is that psikration l'nichalei is going to be mutter according to the Oruch. It's mutter l'chatchila. Do we paskin like the Oruch? The Shulchan Aruch brings the opinion of the Oruch and says we don't paskin like it. But what are we talking about? What type of light is going on? So we're talking about a case of the Raisa or a case of the Rabbanim. So we differentiate in Allah between Psikreshul Nichlay and the Raisa, Psikreshul Nichlay and the Rabbanim. Psikreshul Nichlay and the Raisa, so it's an incandescent bulb. An incandescent bulb. That's Allah of the Raisa turning on that bulb. It'd be a fluorescent light, it'd be an LED light. If it's LED, it's clearly a derbanan. If it's incandescent, it's clearly a deraisa. If it's a fluorescent, this is a question, what the status of a fluorescent bulb is, whether it's a deraisa or a derbanan. Okay, let's explain that question. So incandescent bulb, we know that the way it works is that there's a filament, the metal filament, which glows due to the friction of the electricity flowing through it, to the point it has resistance, to the point that it causes friction, to the point that it glows. So that's, the Rambam says, that taking metal and making it glow is either the malach of Bishul or the malach of Mavir. One place he says Bishul, one place he says Mavir. Either way, it's a malach of Deraisa. Yes, yes. Fluorescent bulb, the glow comes from gases which are excited, and when the gases which are excited, due to a flow of electricity going through them, they interface with the coating inside of the bulb, and that causes light to come out. There's nothing actually which is burning. So the first should not be malach of the raisa. That's the argument that it's not a deraisa. The problem is that the only way you get a fluorescent bulb to have that electricity flowing through the gas to the point that it's going to be excited enough, that the gas is going to move enough to have interface with the coating and create this glow, is by having there's a small filament at the two ends of the bulb which actually get red hot. And as they get red hot, they release electrons, and that allows the flow of electricity through the bulb to the extent that you're going to get this. So you need that filament to get hot. Do you need that filament to get red hot? So the answer, from what I understand from some people I've spoken to about it, is they're not sure. But it could be just enough to get it hot without getting red hot, without glowing. But since it's very small, and it's the difference between the red hot is not important to them, they basically just make it in such a way that it's just, since the technology of making filaments which glow red hot is already out there, that over here there's no need to make it differently, so they haven't really tested it to see if it necessarily can be done. It uses very minimal electricity, it's a very small filament at each end, so it's not important to them. So it's not clear to me whether it needs to get red hot. So it could be Tzolach HaShem HaSirich L'Gufa, that even though it does get red hot, Tzolach HaShem HaSirich L'Gufa, which is the Rabbana. An LED, an LED, the way an LED works is, if you remember your basic molecular structure, your basic atomic structure, so the electrons move around the nucleus of the atom. They move around in shells. There's closer shells and there's further shells. So if you put an electric charge into the atom, electrons have more energy, and they are able to actually move closer into towards the nucleus or the atom. When you release that charge, it's an AC, so the charge ends 60 times. It varies 60 times every second, on and off. So the electron has less energy, and therefore it's thrown out. The repelling of the proton pushes the electron out. The energy which that electron had been holding, which allowed it to be closer to the middle of the atom, is released. It can be released in the form of heat, the form of light, etc. So the LED, the diodes, release that energy in the form of a light. So what's burning is nothing. It's pure energy. Nothing is burning at all. So it's not considered a derisa at all of H. There's nothing burning. The Mora says it would be analogous to the Mora says sparks. So if it's an LED light, you're dealing with a darbona. If it's a incandescent bulb, you're dealing with a derisa. If it's the fluorescent bulb, it's a question. So that's the same. Let's assume that you're dealing with an incandescent bulb, and that would be the most difficult situation. So Tzolachos said, you're dealing with a tigration to l'nichalei, which is not more to the chavchila. It's all a darbona. It's not more to the chavchila. Okay. So once you're dealing with a tigration to l'nichalei, which that itself is a darabanan. So if the action is a darabanan, Sivash L'Nichle is a darabanan, so we mock him at Tzarek, they're posing with Shemekel, or Ravad Yosef has a Shemur, he's Mekel, etc. But this is all arguing in a case where it's L'Nichle. But let's say in a situation where it's Nichle, it's dark. And this light going on is very beneficial. So the scenario which Rishon Zalman was asked was a situation where there was a high-rise building in Switzerland, and the owner of a lot of Jews lived in the apartments in the building. The owner of the building was not Jewish, and he was also a very knowledgeable non-Jew. He did not like the fact that he had Jews in the building. He's holdover from the European whatever. So he came with this great idea. He installed motion sensor lights in the stairwells. And they were totally dark. There was no windows. They were totally dark. So the stairwells are totally, they're pitch black unless the motion sensors go on. So you want to walk down from your apartment out to shul or to out of the building, etc. You had to go through the stairwell, which the lights went on with a motion sensor. So here you are, the person clearly wants the lights to go on. So it's not psikration l'nichalei, it's psikration l'nichalei. And Rosh Hashanah, I heard this from Rabbi Baruch Hirschel, this is the Rabbi Cleveland. I heard this from Rabbi Neuberg, who wrote the Sefer Shirin Shabbos Kilchusa, who heard it from his Rebbe. He was one who brought the shout to Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah said it's mutter. So now you cannot argue here that the heter is based on psikration l'nichalei, because this is a situation where it's psikration l'nichalei. So what's the logic behind Rosh Hashanah's psak? That's what I want to try and explain today. Again, this is not halacha l'maaseh, so you have to ask your local Orthodox rabbi.
What kind of bulbs were in Israel?
My guess is that they were incandescent bulbs. Okay. That was my guess. If he was knowledgeable enough to know these issues, he probably was knowledgeable enough to know there's different types of bulbs.
Excuse me. You said if it was shalom nichalei, it would be rabbinic, right?
Once it was shalom nichalei, by definition, it's a secret shalom nichalei is a rabbanan.
So it's still a problem, right?
It's still a problem. So then, you know, in situations of Tzirish L'Nichalei, according to Aruch, it's Mutter. According to other opinions, it's us. And even if it's us, it's only us in the Rabbanan.
Okay.
So the Maisa Psak is that it's us. But you can start making different types of arguments, etc. We'll touch on some of that. Okay, so what's the argument where we can approach the Shiloh? So the words that Rosh Hashanah Zalman said, and I want to try and explain them, is based on a concept called Misasik. Now let's explain the concept called Misasik. So we know that on Shabbos we know that in general there's something called there's Dor Sheni Miskaven, which means that I am doing action A, and out of action B is coming. So I'm taking this chair and moving it across my lawn, and out comes a charitz. It ends up digging a hole, a furrow into the ground. And it wasn't my intent. I'm involved in the action of moving a chair. I'm not involved in digging holes. Out of it came digging a hole. So that's called Darshani Miskaven.
Excuse me, Rob. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Isn't that where it isn't necessarily going to happen, though?
The concept of Darshani Miskaven means that I'm involved in A, and B is a result of A.
Okay.
That's called Darshani Miskaven. If it's definitely going to happen, it's called Obsegration. But that's called Darshani Miskaven. It means what I'm doing is not my intent at all. Shoigeg, another end of the spectrum, right, is a person who does an action intentionally, forgetting that it's Shabbos, or forgetting that this is prohibited. But he's intending to do. Right? So a person would take a plow and plow through his backyard, making a furrow. He forgot that it was Shabbos, or he forgot that plowing is prohibited. Okay? So that's Shoigeg. What about the following scenario? The person, the more it gives the following scenario, a person has, there's a long stalk over here of straw, kernels of wheat at the end, detached from the ground. He says, wow, this is too long to schlep inside. I want to cut it in half. So if he measures it to size, there's a malacha of measuring to size. He's not doing that, just cutting somewhere in the half, somewhere in the middle. So leaving muksa aside, right, there's no malacha involved in this. He's taking something which is this long and making it shorter. But he didn't realize it's actually attached to the ground. He thought it was detached. He believed it was detached, and he believed what he's doing is an action which is totally permitted. So the action that he's doing, he's intending to do. Mm-hmm. So it's not a case where I forgot. He's not. The case of showing you the person is the action is, the intent is for something which has a locha of being an issur. He believes it's winter because he forgot that it's Shabbos or forgot that it's Osir. Here, he's intending to be mechatech, to cut something, but in reality, he's doing the act of kotzer, of detaching something from the ground. He has no awareness of that at all. But it's not a case of Darshani Miskaven where he's involved in A and B as a result. Here, he's involved in A and A really is B. He doesn't know that. So, more called that a misasik. So the word misasik is the word, there's a word osek, which means to be involved in doing something. Misasik can mean it occurred. He wasn't doing that, it wasn't what his intent was, it wasn't what he was trying to do. But we don't label that Darshani Miskaven, we label that misasik. So there's an action which a person can do, which he's involved in doing X, and X is 100% mutter, and that's what the person is being osek in. But the reality is this action also is, or really in reality is, something else, which is awesome. So misasik is potter from a korban. The more than from a pasuk, the misasik is not a shogeg. It's potter from a korban. Shogeg is chayav korban. Misasik is potter from a korban. There's machlokes between Kivager and the Nesivis whether it's awesome. Is it just potter, or it's even mutter? Now, by definition, that doesn't make any sense because if it's mutter, it means you know about it. Right? I'll give you an example of how it's possible it's mutter. So Gregor says it's an Avera. It's an Avera. That's not Chayav Korban. There are many Averas which aren't Chayav Korbanis. This Avera is not Chayav Korban. Shoigeg is Chayav Korban. Misasik is an Avera without a Korban. The Sefer Mekor Chayim, which is written by the Nesivis in Hilchos Pesach, he asked the question, why do we have to do B'dik Erev? Why do we have to check our houses? The issue is having chametz. I'm not aware of any chametz in my house, so I'm a misasik. I'm not being oisik in keeping chametz. It's occurring. So that's a misasik. So why have to check? So Gifter pointed out, you see from this nesiva, it's not like a kibbeir. Kibbeir holds it in a veira. So of course you have to check. If you're doing an aveira. Inadvertently, but you're doing an aveira. But if you feel that misasik is not an aveira at all, so he's got a great question. He has a very good question. Why do I have to check? What's the problem? So I'm not aware they have chametz. No, I'm not aware of it. That's inadvertent. Inadvertent. It's a misasik. It's mutter. So you see from the Nesivis his question that he feels, so he gets involved in the proportions of ratios of probabilities that there's something there. If they get a point of a ratio of a roiv or miyat hamotzui, it's the same way we check for bugs in our vegetables. Why am I checking for bugs? I don't see any bugs. Yeah. Like, what's the problem? Yeah, but maybe you're getting a bug. Well, yeah, but then why? What? Well, if most times this is infested, I have a key of the right, so the check. Roiv tells me that there's bugs there. Let's say the roiv doesn't tell me, so there's a concept called miyat hamotzui. If it's even though it's a miyat, even though it's less than 50%, but it's common, whatever that number is, the Mishnah Yaakov says it's 10%. in 10% of the time it happens, that's considered to be in a matzah, you're mechuyev the check for bucks. If it's 50%, you're mechuyev the check to rice. So he says the same thing by chametz. I mean, you're using this house the whole year. 50% chance there's chametz somewhere in your house. Right? So you're mechuyev, that's why you're mechuyev the budget. But his question, from his question, you see the mizasik is mutter gom. So mizasik means the example of the Gemara is I'm clearly my action is X, inadvertently it becomes Y. So Rosh Hashanah Zalman said, I'm walking down the street, my action is X. You know, every time you walk in the street, the truth is there's somebody taking a picture of you. There's a satellite, you live in Washington DC, right? There's a satellite taking a picture of you, especially if you live downtown, right? Any moment you walk in the street, I can guarantee you there's a spy satellite from some country taking a picture of you. And there's somebody hacking into it, taking a picture of that. That's the mitzvah of living where we live nowadays. And it's facial recognition. They're able to recognize your face. So I can't walk on the street because somebody's taking a picture of me. And the answer is obviously that I'm not being oisik and taking pictures. I'm being oisik and walking. That which pictures occur is a misasik. That's what Shlomo Zalman is arguing. So that's not Rosh Hashanah miskaven. It's less than that. It's a misasik because according to the Sivan, it's mutter. According to the Sivan, what I'm saying is I'm involved in action X, which is 100% mutter. That which this action also is Y and Z is irrelevant. I'm not involved in that. That's not my action. So that's the concept of misasik. Misasik, we're taking the concept of misasik of the Morris case and applying it to over here. So do we have a precedent to do that? Because really the Morris does, never does that. Right. This is quite a big chiddush to say such an idea. Yeah. So,
by the walking down the street, the thing's taking pictures all the time, let's say, on the buildings of you. But here you're causing it because it wouldn't be on unless you walked down the stairway and invoked it through a motion sensor.
Theoretically, but the concept is that I have a right to argue that if I'm involved in doing action X, and that's what my intent is, and that's what I'm doing, you cannot redefine, because you are out, you are on the outside, are imposing upon me something, you cannot redefine my action. Mm. I'm being Osek and X, Y is happening. That's the, you said the kind of misasik, there's a difference between an osik and a misasik. An osik is what you're involved in. You're being lasik with the Torah. You're being osik in Torah. You're doing, and misasik means it occurred.
Okay.
So the kind of misasik is I'm not doing that. You can't impose upon me a new definition of what my action is because you decided to do that.
Okay.
Let's say the scenario would be that I'm a famous guy and it's paparazzi. There's a guy who lives across the street. Every time I walk outside, he takes a picture of me. Every time, guaranteed. All right. I'm a movie star. I live in Hollywood, and there's a guy. I guarantee they walk outside. Am I allowed to walk outside? As soon as he walks out, flash goes off every time, guaranteed. And three different talkers are Jewish. Am I allowed to walk outside? Of course, I'm allowed to walk outside because you're a mashugan. You want to take pictures? You want to live with me? So you can't redefine my action. I'm walking. No, I'm making pictures. No, I'm not.
It's a mutter action.
So the action is you can't redefine the action. So that's the concept we're grappling with.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have a source for this? So there's a fascinating discussion on this issue. Let's see if we can give it some clarity to it. There's a Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara in Yuma discusses the following scenario: that a person is the child is drowning, fell into the lake, and the only way you can get him out is taking this net and dragging it across the bottom and pulling him back up. Well, you know that you're going to catch fish while you do that, which is Malach of the Rice. So. Right? So, but it's because that fish to save the child. But meanwhile, I'm catching the fish. So the language of the Bavli has the language of this halacha. The Gemara gives three scenarios, all the same type of idea. One of them is the fish. One of the cases where you're digging a kid out of a well, and meanwhile you're making stairs to get him out. So you're being masak in stairs. The same type of idea. The Gemara says all three cases that it's the result is mutter, which means you're not being mechavan for that purpose. Right? I'm not being mechavan for fish, I'm being mechavan for the child. The fact that I have fish, I'm allowed to benefit from the fish. You say, well, you can't use the fish because really that would retroactively make your action, your point is fish. No, it's supposed to use the fish. Right? That's how the Bavli says it. However, the Ran brings from the Yerushalmi says you're allowed to have intent for the fish. So the guy says, listen, I love trout, and trout, there's one day a year where it's really running the best. And today, Shabbos happens to be the day. And Baruch Hashem, this kid falls into the rake. I say, Chas, Gamalik, and now I can not only get the fish, I can get my fish. Zot Yerushalmi Mutter. I mean, you're mechaber for the fish. As a matter of fact, I really don't like the kid. I like the fish even better than the kid. Doesn't make a difference. It's still mutter. Okay? That's what the Yerushalmi says. So in Shulchan Aruch, it's brought down, this halacha is brought down in the halachas of Mechal Shabbos to save a life. And it's actually brought down, the Mishnah Berurah brings down that there's actually two opinions. The Shulchan Aruch language is like the Bavli. It's like you're not intending for that purpose, but if it happens, it's okay. But the Mishnah Berurah brings out there are many Rishonim felt that the correct year is like the Yerushalmi. And that you're actually allowed to have intents for both. And still be mutter. Okay. Comes along the Rashba, and the Rashba quotes this Yerushalmi. And the Rashba explains a girsa in the Bavli based on this Yerushalmi, which you don't have that girsa in the Bavli. But the Rashba has this girsa in the Bavli, and he passes this halacha on the mice. Different scenario. Not the Mechukh Nefesh. Right? So I have a nice big house, wide doors, and a deer strolls inside my house. A tzvi strolls inside my house. So I have a tzvi inside my house. The law is if you shut the door, that's the law of say that you're capturing the tzvi. You're trapping this tzvi inside your house. Okay, so I can't shut the door on Shabbos because it's, you know, but it's freezing cold. So I want to shut the door to keep the cold out. Meanwhile, also, I'm going to be catching this tzvi. I'm going to be capturing him. It'd be the malach of Seda on my house. So the Rashba says that the Yerushalmi says it's mutter even if you're mechaben for the tzvi also. Not only is it mutter to shut the door when your intent is not for the tzvi, but even if your intent is for the tzvi also, your intent is to shut the door to protect your house. It's, you know, I leave the door wide open in the middle of the night, Kedavim will come in. So I want to shut the door because I need to shut the door for a valid need, which is 100% mutter. Even though I'm also being mechaber for this action as well, it's still mutter. That's what the Rashba says. So the Ran says that Gevald in the belt can't be. He says, I, the Yerushalmi, by the case of Pikuach Nefesh. Pikuach Nefesh, the Pshat is like this. Pikuach Nefesh is such a compelling action that you must do, that the definition of the action is Pikuach Nefesh. So the fact that you're mechaber other things doesn't change the definition of the action. So what you're doing is, I'm saving the child. Well, no, you're fishing, catching fish. No, I'm saving the child. That's what I'm doing. That's the definition of the action. The fact that there are other intents cannot pull away its status and redefine what your action is. But over here, where it's not, there's not a compelling definition, one or the other. Yeah, you want to shut the door because you have this $3,000 worth of tzvi in your house, and plus you want to protect your possessions. Which one's compelling? Neither one. So then your kavanah plays a role. So having multiple kavanahs will make the action having both definitions, thereby making it awesome. That's what the Ran argues. So the Ran says an important yesod that there is a concept of defining an action. But he defines the action by the definition of what a compelling definition. The Mishnah Berurah discusses this in the following scenario. In Hilchos Seder. So let's say there is a snake which has a very painful bite. It's not life threatening. Very painful bite. So I want to capture the snake to prevent it from biting people. So the malach of that's mutter. Why is that mutter? Because capturing the malach of tzeda is to capture it to use it. So it's a malach of shenasich l'gufa. I'm not capturing it to use it. I'm capturing it to keep it away from people. So malach of shenasich l'gufa, which is also drabana, and because of the pain involved, chazal ramatim. Malach of shenasich l'gufa normally is osur. Over here, because there's significant pain from the bite of this snake, so it's mutter. So Mishnah Berurah wants to know, what about if you're mechaven? And the Mishnah Berurah points out that there's a mitzvah to remove a mazik from the world. The more Baba Kama, in the first parak, there's a mitzvah to remove a mazik. So it's mamash a mitzvah to do this. So I'm mamash doing it not for the purpose of capturing it, but just to get it away from everybody, to protect people. It's not life. It's not a pikuach nefesh, but it's mutter. Let's say I want to be mechaven l'shem refuah also. This animal has certain types of venom, etc., which is not life-threatening, but you can be used for antidotes, etc. So under mechaber and l'shem, protecting people, and also the refuah, This is the Bir Halacha in Shin Tezayin. Bir Halacha raises the question. He says, you know what? It's to be analogous to this discussion of having two kavanas by the fish with the child. He says, no, not the same. Over there, it's Pikuach Nefesh. Pikuach Nefesh is compelling. Over here, once you're doing the same refuah, it's Halacha Sechel Gufa. You want to use the venom. So you want to use the item that you're capturing. So you can't define, no, my main kavanah is to get away from everybody. And therefore, then it's your lagufa. I'm also in mechavim for this. No, your kavanah defines. Your multiple kavanahs will define. Okay, one more example, and then we'll try and bring it back to over here. So there's a fascinating argument between the Nesivis and the Chofetz Chaim in the Sefer Avos Chesed. Okay, so in the Sefer Avos Chesed, it brings the following discussion. One of the issur in the Torah is an issur of taking an avot. A person lends money, the money is due, and the individual doesn't have what to pay with. So I want to go to his house and I want to take some type of an item as payment. So the law is that payment, so it's not a collateral which you give at the beginning of a loan. So it's a payment to be given at the end of the loan. But the Torah says that really you have a right to money, not the items. So you can take the item, but if he needs it, you have to give it back to him. That's the concept of if he needs the avot, you give it back. Furthermore, this halacha of taking the avot, so it functions like a collateral at the time of the payment, similar to a collateral. It's not exactly a collateral, but it functions. Now the halacha is if the just to explain the concept, if the lova dies, then the borrower dies, the lender can keep the item as payment. As long as the borrower is alive, the lover is alive, the lover has a right to use it, and he has to give it back to him when he needs it, and eventually he'll pay it off by giving money instead. So this, there's the Torah says there's an iser of avot that the lender cannot go into the house and forcibly take the item from the borrower. The borrower has to come out and bring it out to him. You cannot go into the house to take it. The balabai is the loiva comes out pachutz and he gives it to you. You cannot take it from him. Okay. The halacha is this only applies to a loan. Let's change the scenario. So there's a concept in the halacha known as an iska. What's an iska? An iska is when we make an arrangement, it's a business arrangement, we're an asik, the same business arrangement, we're being asik in something, we're involved in business. So, I'm a person of means, but and I want to invest. So I go to you. You're not necessarily you have an idea for a business. You need money. So listen, I'm gonna give you $100,000. I'm gonna invest $100,000 into the business. I'll make you a deal. $50,000 of it is my investment. So therefore, half of the profits belong to me. $50,000 is a loan. It belongs to you. So even if the business goes sour, you owe me $50,000. Whatever I invested, if the business goes sour, that's my loss. $50,000 is a loan to you, and you owe me the money. Now you're going to take the money, you're going to end the loan, and you're going to invest in the business. That's your business. What you're going to do with it? But it's a loan. So it's half milva, half pikadon. The part which I'm investing, you can't use for anything else. It's my money. So it's really a pikadon. You're acting like a shomer on my money. What's your shmira? To invest it in the business. Okay, and I want my money back out of this business 2 years from now. So 2 years from now, I'm going to get my investment. I'm running out of space on my thing. Okay, so let's do this. Don't fight me. So 50 at 2 years from now, I'm going to take the whole thing back. I get my loan back, and I'm going to get my investment back. I don't know what that means. Okay, so now comes 2 years, and you don't have the money. So I want an avot. I want a collateral. So what am I entitled to? The law is you're allowed to take an avot. I can go to your house and take an avot. I can't take an avot for you from a loan, but I can't take from a pikadon. And a loch is a avot doesn't have to be the value of the. It can be even larger than the value. So I walk in and I see that you have this $100,000 painting. I think, great. I'll take it. I'm allowed to take it. I'm allowed to take it for the Bikodin part. I'm also being mechavim for the loan part, which I'm not allowed to take an avot. But I'm allowed to go into your house and take that picture for the Bikodin part. Meanwhile, I'm also doing that.
I'm
going to take that other, the which I'm allowed to take, but I'm also being mechavim for the loan part, which is osur. Is it mutter? So the Sibra says yes. The Chofetz Chaim brings rise that no, that's osur. Even though the action is opposite mutter, but once you're mechaben for something which is osur, it makes the action osur. So we have this argument again. The action is opposite, what I'm doing is opposite mutter, but my kavanah, we have this argument, will the kavanah define and make it the action redefined in something which is prohibited? And there's other examples of this argument in other areas, etc. Okay, so let's take it back to over here. Right, so back to over here, let's see if we can work this out. What Rosh Hashanah is saying is, the act of walking is a compelling act. I have a right to walk here, I've been walking here for years. That's what everybody does over here. Now you install a machine which when I walk by, it turns on the lights. Have you redefined my action as an action of walking? No, it's an act of turning on lights. See, if we keep this action, the definition, action of walking, it's mutter, I'm allowed to walk. I mean, Isaac in walking, that which lights are going on is a misasik. Or no, this action that I'm aware of, and I'm even benefiting from, and I'm interested in, but the fact is that I'm doing it in such a way that it's, does that redefine it now to become an action which is awesome? So Rosh Hashanah was saying that he looks at this like the case of the satellite, that the fact that somebody is imposing something upon me from the outside doesn't redefine my action. So in the case of the Pikul Nefesh, I'm clearly deciding what I want. I'm clearly deciding I want to be Pikul Nefesh. Pikul Nefesh is such a compelling definition, you cannot impose another definition on it. That's one case that we see according to the Rishalmi like that, and according to the Ran, etc. But by the case of the Tzvi in the house, except according to the Rashba, even over there it's Mutter. The action remains an action of Heter. You're not going to redefine it as an Isser. Everything disagrees with the Rashba. By the case of the Avoit, we have the Avos Chesed, the Chofetz Chaim Sefer Avos Chesed, and the Nesivos, what the status is. And over here, we're suggesting such an idea. So that, I think, is Pshat and Rav Shlomo Zalman's Pshat. That we can define the action as an action of Heter, and then it's not redefined. So I said this year, and somebody told me that in France they have this problem now, it's a very common problem. And the Rabbanim over there basically tell the people that, you know, if you're going to a place where you've been going for years and years beforehand, the fact that you also are, they have lights there now doesn't make it awesome. In other words, this argument, that since this becomes, this action was always defined as an action of a mice of heter, of walking. Now, I can't go to the light and turn it on and say, well, I'm just walking. Obviously, I'm turning on the light. Now, over here, the point is, my mice is a mice of walking. All I'm doing, I'm being Isaac and walking. There's this reality which is out there, which has recreated it and said that it's something else, or something that's not compelling. Now I'll give you one flip case. What about the following Shiloh? Just to get, I wanted to open my fridge on Shabbos, and I realized that I left the light on. So I open the door, I'm going to turn on the light. So I'm a Jew, can't do that. That's a psikresha. Whether it's nichol or no nichol doesn't make a difference. A psikresha, can't do it. The locha is a mir la'akum on a psikresha's mutter. A mir la'akum on a psikresha's mutter. So I want to ask my neighbor, who's not Jewish, to come open my door, the fridge door. So I don't have to hint anything. I say, please open the fridge door. He says, great. He's turning on the light, no problem. I left something in the backseat of my car. I can't open the door because it'll turn on the light. I asked my neighbor, do you mind opening the back door of my car? He says, no problem. I'm asking him directly to open the door. He's going to turn on. Psikresha by goya's mutter. Come to Rosh Hashanah Zalman, Rosh Hashanah Zalman says, not by the fridge. Because the system of the fridge is, it's made, and the light turns on every time you open the door. So now, that is the definition of the action. The action is not just opening a fridge door. The action is opening a fridge door and turning on the light. That's how the system works. That's not a psikresha, that's an action, that's an oisik. So that's called Dover Hamiskaven. The definition of the action is both opening the door and both turning on the light. So I can't argue. No, I'm just asking the goy to turn the door, open the door, and the light is going on in the mail, and therefore it's Darshani Miskam and it's a Pshigresha or whatever. No. This is how the system works. So the system now is defined. This is how the manufacturer set up this machine to work. That becomes the definition of the action. And the action is therefore you're asking the goy to turn on a light, which you can't do. So Shlomo Zalman said, many persons disagreed and said, no, we don't look at it like that. So in other words, this idea of defining what is the action is very significant. Analogous to this, I'll just give you one analogy. The Chazon Ish, when he moved to Eretz Yisrael, one of the things he grappled with was the issue of milking cows on Shabbos. Milking cows on Shabbos is a major issue. How do you milk cows on Shabbos? So halacha is milking cows on Shabbos, the Gemara says, you can't use the milk. Because that's the malach of skita. You're squeezing out to get the mafarik, you're squeezing out from the animal to get the milk, that's also. So it's mutter if the milk does not is goes onto the ground, it's mutter. Because then it's not an act of skita. Okay, so you have three cows, you do it by hand, because otherwise it's painful for the cow to keep the milk in. It's you squeeze it onto the ground, everything is great. What if you have a 1,000 head of cow? How do you do that? Well, it's normal during the week. You have this electrical milking machine which milks the cows, you know, etc. But how do I do that on Shabbos? So this is one of the questions that the Chasidim grappled with when he came there to Israel, was try to set up a way that we could create a system where the Jewish farmers could find a way to milk their cows on Shabbos beheter. Again, the milk is going to go leibud. That's not the issue. But practically, how do you milk? So one suggestion was to create some type of a time-lapse grumma situation. So Chazon Ish said, no, once you make the system like that and it becomes a system, that's not a grumma anymore. Once it works like that every single time, that's not a grumma, that's the system. I mean, let's argue like this. My press of my foot on the car, the gas, well, it's connected to this, which connected to that. That's a grumma. That's not a grumma, that's the system. So the fact that it takes 17 steps to get from A to B doesn't make it a grumma. If that's how the system is set up to work, that's how the system is engineered, that becomes the maisa. This is what Chazon Ish asked Reb Chaim Moser Grodzinski. And Reb Chaim Moser, in a letter, wrote back, yes, he's correct. That's not considered a grumma, that's considered a maisa. So this definition of how we define the action becomes very significant in many areas of Hilchos Shabbos, but specifically back over here. So the same way we're saying this, the Chumrah, Rosh Hashanah Zalman was saying it, the Chumrah, the case of the refrigerator, he says it, the Kula, but the case of, you can't argue, well, what you're really doing is turning on lights, just happens to be you're walking. I'm walking and happening to be turning on lights. The definition of the action is an action of walking, and therefore the mice is a mice of oisik, not a misasik. It's oisik and walking, misasik vis-a-vis the lights, misasik is mutter, and therefore he passing him as mutter. Okay.